Let's take our Bibles this morning. We'll get started here in the book of Psalm, chapter 133. Psalm 133, and just for our Sunday school lesson this morning, we're just going to take a look at, we're just going to read the first verse, and it's going to deal with being unified, what unites the church, some things that we all have in common that brings us all together. Even though we all are separate families, come from different walks in life, but yet because of some of these things we're going to see this morning, these are things that brings us together as a church that we can be unified together in as we serve the Lord with each other. So in Psalm 133, verse number 1, it just says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Lord says how good it is for you and I just to get along. It's kind of like growing up in our own household. You know, a lot of times brothers and sisters fight, don't they? Boy, and there's some good ones. We all had some good ones as we was growing up, and arguments and things, and, you know, and maybe just, you know, brother and sister spats as far as, you know, who's better than the other one, or trying to get, you know, in good with mom and dad and trying to make the other one look bad, and just different things as we grew up with brothers and sisters, the arguments we would get into and the fights we'd get into. But of course, we all know that, you know, even though we might fight with each other, nobody better pick on us or the other ones would be right there with us, wouldn't they? And stuff. But, you know, it's good to dwell together in unity. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You know, it's hard. We see that in our country today, don't we? We see a split in the country, and it's the political split. But, you know, one side's not going to agree with the other side. I mean, it doesn't matter how good something would be that's going to be done, there's still going to be opposition. And it's just the way it is. But the Bible tells us that it can two walk together except they be agreed. And, of course, to unite here, as we see this passage here, is, you know, to dwell together in unity, the Bible or the dictionary tells us to unite means just to be incorporated into one. And we see that all around us, examples of that in the world around us. We see companies, they unite together, they come together to form a better company. We see that in the kitchen. We unite different ingredients to make a batch of cookies. And of course, if you forget one ingredient, what's going to happen? They're not going to be very well, are they? They're not going to come out too good and stuff. So, but businesses, ingredients for recipes, men and women in marriage, you know, they unite together to become husband and wife. As Genesis tells us, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and he'll cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And God just has that all ordained, and that's his plan. And of course, things in life, just as they're united together, in the physical realm, it's the same in the church, in the spiritual realm. And this morning we're going to just take a look at some things. We won't be very long and stuff. So, but the first thing we're going to look at is, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We always glance over the gospel message, but the first thing that unites you and I as a church is a gospel we all receive. It's that gospel message of our Lord and Savior. And Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 4, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." There's a gospel there that we all receive. Each and every one of us at one point in our life had come to that time where we made that decision to trust Christ as our Savior. Some as young people, maybe older in life, but whether older or younger, we've made that decision to put our faith and trust in Christ, realizing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And we're thankful for Christ that came and died upon that cross, as it tells us here. He died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on that third day. So what unites the church is, first of all, that gospel message that we've all received. We're going to kind of scurry down through these things because I've only got 48 of them, so we need to get them done. No. No. But the second one is not only that gospel that we receive, but what helps you and I to unite together is because we have a Savior we all look to. We all look to the same person, don't we? We're not looking to the Pope. We don't look to the leaders in the church. We look to the Savior. And he's the one that died for us. And we look to him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to him in life's trials, good times, bad times. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We get our eyes off of him, we're going to start to wander, aren't we? You ever drive your car down the road and you start looking at something while you got your hand on the wheel and you're kind of leaned back and you're just driving and you start looking at something over here, and what starts happening? Your hand starts drifting that way. Why? Because you get your eyes off the road. We get our eyes off of the Lord, we're going to start to drift. Doesn't matter how good we are and how spiritual we think we are, we get our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to be in trouble. We look to him not only for salvation, but we look to him every day for our strength. We look to him every day for our guidance. We look to him every day to take care of our needs. And you stop and you think how blessed we are as God's children. You know, I told Donna the other day, since I retired, when you get ready to retire, you think a little bit, what's going to happen? You know, you're used to working, you're used to that paycheck every week, and you're used to that insurance that you have from working and all those things. And when you retire, you start thinking, okay, well, you trust the Lord, but there's always that little bit of a wonder. But yet you look, and I told her, I said, boy, you sit back and you look and how the Lord's taking care of us, and he's taking care of each and every one of you. He takes care of us, doesn't he? He provides for us, and we look to him for our needs to be supplied. We look to Jesus to one day come and take us out of this sin-sick world, and that we can be with him forevermore. I'm glad when we get to heaven, there'll be no politics, no splits. And you're not going to have this group, that group. We're not going to have the Baptist over here and the Pentecostal over there. And we're going to all be one in Christ. And we look to him to come and take us to heaven one day. And because we look to Jesus, we also then serve him. Brother Carl brought that out on Wednesday night, that we serve the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We're to love the Lord. Why? Because on that hangs all the law and the prophets. We serve him with all of our heart, with all of our might. And as we serve him, we then serve others. And we treat others with the respect they need. A lot of people in life we don't get along with as far as their way of thinking, but that doesn't excuse us from not showing the kindness of Christ to them and to be a help to them and a blessing to them. And then thirdly, just what unites the church. And these things are the things that we all have that we hold in common, kind of like the covenant we were seeing in Sunday school last week, our church covenant. But there's a book that we all obey, don't we? We all hold on our laps today our Bibles. And that's a book that we can all take and look to and trust what the Word of God says and to learn from the things that the Scriptures teach us. The Bible tells us that we learn from the Scriptures as the Holy Spirit teaches us, because it's a holy book and it's a spiritual book, and we need the Holy Spirit to teach us as we read it. So when we open God's Word, whether it's at home or wherever, we ought to ask the Holy Spirit, help us to understand what we're reading. Some things we're going to pick right up on, aren't we? You ever read things and you think, boy, I get that right off the bat. But then sometimes you ever read some things and you think, what did I just read? Well, you know what? That's going to happen all the way till the day we die, because we're never going to fully understand everything written in the Word of God. But does that mean we shouldn't read it? No. Even those things we may not understand, we need to read. You ever, I've noticed as I've gotten older, have you ever had it where you read scriptures, you close your Bible, and then 15 minutes later, you'll think, what did I just read? You ever do that? You know, well, good, I'm glad it wasn't just me. I was thinking something was wrong with me here as I was getting a little older now, you know, since I just turned 50. No, but you know, that even though we may not remember what we read, guess what? It still got down in our hearts, didn't it? And it's there for the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance when we need it. As the Scriptures tells us, He brings that to our remembrance. Matthew chapter 7, you don't need to turn there, but it's the wise man and the foolish man. One built his house upon the rock, and the other one built his house upon the sand. And of course, the Bible tells us that the one who built his house upon the rock, of course, we know which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he obeyed the teachings of the Word of God. He listened to the Word of God, and when the storms of life came, he stood firm, because his faith was where it needed to be. But the one that built his house upon the sand, he heard the sayings and the things that were going to go on, and he didn't trust. And his house, as we would sing with the little kids, his house went splat. His house fell. There's a book that we can read here. Something you think of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, and all the things written within it by Isaiah, one of the Bible books that has 66 chapters in it. And of course, I've never done it, but I've heard them say studies on Isaiah. Every chapter of Isaiah will collate with the books of the Bible. Chapter 1 of Isaiah will collate with something in Genesis. And I seen a few things about it, because I know chapter 40, which would be dealing with Matthew, and Isaiah talks about one crying in the wilderness. Well, we know in Matthew, we see John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. You know, the last book of Isaiah talks about a new heaven, and we know Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And of course, it would take a lot of time to sit down and look those things and study those things, unless you can find a cheat sheet online somewhere. It's already somebody studied it out for you. But you know, it's just interesting how God's Word goes with itself. You can be able to search the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will be able to teach you one verse you may not understand somewhere else. It'll back it up in the Word of God. It'll be taught in the Word of God somewhere else. There's a book we can all look to, and we all obey. But then there's another thing. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's a race we all run. That's what unites the church. Each of us are in a race. And it's not a race to see who's the fastest. It's not a race to see who's got the most stamina. It's a race that we all run, that we finish because we serve the Lord all the days of our lives. Paul says there in Timothy, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. That was his race. He went through a lot of different things in his race. You and I are different races. We all go through different things. But God wants us to finish that race. Hebrews 12:1 says, see, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Maybe our race is going to have some hurdles once in a while. And, you know, we might trip over them. I mean, I don't think I'd be able to jump a hurdle. I never, in school, we'd have to do that in gym class sometimes. That's hard jumping over those hurdles unless you're a really fit, slim, skinny little guy that can, you know, jump up in the air like the wind. You get us big boys try to jump over a hurdle, you're going to trip over them, fall on the ground, skin your knees, and lay there and whine like a baby, you know, until somebody comes and gets you and picks you up, you know. But, you know, there's hurdles in life that we all face. And we all go through them. And we all, of course, are going to have to decide when that hurdle comes, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue that race, or will we quit? It's not a race, as I said, to see who's the best or the fastest, but it's a race of just being faithful to the Lord and not quitting, being faithful to Him. Whether it's thick or thin, hard times, good times, just stay faithful to the Lord and to serve Him all the days of our lives. Too many times God's children want to be like those race horses. You know, they, They come out of the gates. They're on fire for the Lord. They're you know, just there they go. And of course, and we know what happens to a racehorse after a while. It gets tired, doesn't it? It slows down, wears itself out. God wants you and I to be like those old plow horses. You know, you just slow and steady, but you know what? You get the job done. May not be as quick as you used to be. Maybe it takes a little longer to do things and serving the Lord, but just be faithful and don't quit. The old saying goes, as we know when we was growing up, nobody likes a quitter. Everybody wants to be faithful to the Lord, so we need to keep going forth for Him. So those are just some things that unite the church. Another thing, don't think we're going to get done early. I got enough to keep us going. Another thing that's going to unite you and I together is there's a battle we all win. Now look at 1 John chapter 5. Now look at this passage here. In 1 John chapter 5, and there's a battle that we can all win. We talked about the race, and we've talked about, of course, the gospel we obey and the Savior we look to and serve, and we looked at the Word of God that we are able to take and help to guide us in this life and in the race that we win. But there's a battle also we all can win in this life. There's a battle that we can win, and it's a spiritual battle. And sometimes we forget that the enemy's out there. Sometimes we get to going so well and things are going good for us and we think, you know, life's just peachy, but then we forget there is an enemy out there that's out there to defeat us. In 1 John chapter 5, of course, the Christian life is full of battles, whether it's trials or whether it's habits. I'm sure, you know, when you and I got saved, we all had habits that we weren't happy that we had. You know, as Brother Carl said, some get saved and they stop right away, whereas others, it takes time. For some, it might take a lifetime. But you know what? It's the heart. When that battle comes, are you willing when it comes? And maybe you fall to that temptation of that habit and you say, Lord, I am so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And you ask forgiveness. Does He forgive you? Sure He does. Sure He does. We're human. He knows that. But then there's times people will have habits as a child of God and they say, I don't care. I like it. I'm going to do it. We knew a lady that smoked and she had cancer from smoking. And did she quit smoking? She told me one day when I made a visit on her, she says, I don't care. I like it. I'm not going to quit. Well, that's her decision, her choice. And of course, she's no longer walking this earth today because of her decision, and she went on and died from that. But in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now that makes it sound like, boy, when you get saved, you ain't going to sin anymore. That's not what it's saying. It says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. It's not our quitting our habits. It's not cleaning our life up. The Lord helps us do that. But that's not what our victory is in. Our victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world, it says? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You and I, of course, we're in this battle. And, of course, we've already got the victory because of Jesus Christ, because we put our faith in Him. So when many times we get defeated, maybe that habits creep up on us, maybe trials drag us down, we need to realize that we have already won the victory. We have three enemies in this world today, three enemies that each and every one of us have. And of course, you stop and you think about what they are. Well, the first one, of course, we know is the devil. He's a roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And you know what? You and I are on his radars all the time. You know, don't ever think that he's not out after us. You know what? Satan's out to destroy anyone that walks after God and wants to destroy their testimony, their families, and their everything about them. So we have the devil as our enemy. The world is our enemy. The things of this world that tempt us, try to draw us away from the Lord. And temptation's all around us anymore, isn't it? I mean, it's getting where you can't even watch TV anymore without commercials that, you know, try to infiltrate the minds of especially the young people. I mean, you just get tired of the commercials anymore even. Ain't like the old commercials where they used to have where it was this good, clean commercial, you know, Alka-Seltzer with the little guy, you know, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, or, you know, just the old, now you gotta have commercials and you know, where they're promoting all these drugs to help you not to get, you know, transmittable diseases, and they gotta show guys with guys and girls with girls, and a lot of times you can't get to the button to flip the channel quick enough before you've seen it. You know, it's just sickening. It's sickening. You know what? And it's just, it's all around us. This world is our enemy, and that's why that song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a path. I'd break out and sing it for you, but you'd all tear out running from here. But this world is not our home. We're just passing through, aren't we? And the last enemy that each and every one of us have, the devil, the world, but the last one's the greatest enemy, it's ourself. It's this flesh. Paul in Romans chapter 7 says the things that he wants to do, he don't do. And the things that he doesn't want to do ends up being the things that he does. And isn't that the way life seems like sometimes? You want to be faithful to the Lord. You want to do right. But then a lot of times this flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? You know, you think, boy, what, you know, you just look back sometimes. You think, boy, why did I do that? I wish I could go back. And that's always, I think, the famous line of every, I wish I could go back and do that again. You know, people sometimes when they're ready to pass on, they'll say, I wish I could have done things different. And, you know, you might be serving the Lord and being faithful to him, but there's still things in our lives that we all can look back to. And that's, you know, that we say, boy, I wish I would have done something different. Why? Because our flesh got in the way. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let sin have dominion over us. Look to the Lord for help as we run this battle. Look to the Lord for that strength. As we already saw, there's a Savior we can look to. Look for him for our strength so that we can live for him and do what's right. When temptation comes, there's a magical word that we all can say if we just learn to have the strength to say it and the world power to say it and the Lord's help to say it. And that magical word is when temptation comes, is just to say, no. No, I'm not going to do that. And turn away from it. Be like Joseph in Potiphar's house. Run. Run from the temptation that's there and don't get involved in it. Another thing that we can be united in as a church is in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 37, verse 38. There's a work that we all can do. There's always something to do in the work of the Lord, isn't there? Something to always do. And the Bible says this in the passage there, Jesus speaking, saith unto his disciples, he says this, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. It's our responsibility to share the gospel. There's different ways of sharing the gospel, but whatever way we do it, we need to be sharing the gospel, getting the gospel out. Some things we can't do like we used to do. We used to, of course, we church goes door to door knocking a couple times a month and stuff, and some can't do that. Some aren't able to get out and do that. But you know what? There's still other ways of getting the gospel out, isn't there? You know, our daily lives, maybe when we come in contact with people, just hand them a gospel tract. You know, it's an easy way of doing it. I mean, you get your gospel tracts and I'll keep a pocket full, and when the Lord pricks my heart, and I got the address, you know, the church on the back, all you got to do is hand him a gospel tract and hand it to him upside down with the name of the church. Say, hey, if you're not doing anything Sunday, come and give us a visit if you don't have a church home, and I'll guarantee you most times they're going to take it. And you know what? Once they've got it, and then they turn it over when a little bit later, and they're going to see there's a gospel message there, and they can open it and read it. But you know what? You got the gospel in their hand, didn't you? You got it in their hand. And that's what's important, that we just do what we can do to see the gospel go forth. Of course, we all got loved ones, friends, that no one else is going to be able to be a witness to except you. And it's our responsibility to take the gospel, that work that we can all do, not only the work in sharing the gospel, but then there's the work in the church that we all can be faithful at helping out with and doing things. We all got a job in the church that we can do, whatever it might be. You say, I don't know what I want to do, or I don't know what I can do. All you got to do is ask the preacher, and he'll give you something, won't he? And so there's always a work that we can do. And then, of course, the last thing we're going to look at here this morning is there's a faith that we all keep that unites the church. Now, some of these kind of go along with the other things. We already mentioned this with Paul there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he says, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. There's a faith that we all keep. Our trust in Christ, our faith in the Word of God and what it teaches. Don't be swayed away from the truth. Don't be that little tree in the wind that gets bent clear over until it snaps. Be strong, be firm. Be like what Psalm chapter 1 says, we're like that tree that's planted beside the waters. We're going to be strong. Our roots are going to be ground down in deep. When those trials of life come and when those different doctrines come our way that someone might try to tell us, we're going to know what the truth is. And we're going to be able to say, you know what, that's just not right. That don't sound right. And I guarantee you sometimes if it don't sound right, guess what? It's not right. It's not right. God's word will always sound right when you hear it. God's word will always be truth when you hear it. And we need to have that faith, that trust in Christ and being obedient then to all things that his word teaches us to do. Don't turn away from the Lord. Be faithful to him. One day, when we get to heaven, what a joy it'll be to hear the Lord look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That should be the words that each and every one of us would want to hear. People can take our money. People can take our possessions. People can even take our life away from us. But one thing they can't take is that faith that we have in Christ. So this morning as a church, are we united together in all these different areas of the church? And as brethren, are we saved? Are we looking to Jesus, serving him? Are we obeying the word of God and the things that it teaches us to do? Are we running that race the best we can run it, being faithful? Are we overcoming this flesh by asking the Lord's help and doing what's right? Are we working out in the fields and doing what we can to get the gospel and take it forth to others? And are we keeping that faith? You know, are we looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? God wants us as his children to be dedicated to him. He wants us to be determined in our hearts just to do right. And he wants us then to be dependable that when he wants us, he knows he can call on us to do whatever he would need us to do. Amen. Those are things that unite the church. We're going to get done just a little bit early so you can enjoy a cup of coffee before we head upstairs. Make your pit stops. And then we'll go upstairs here just in a little bit and be looking forward to visitors coming in and worshiping with us this morning.